I think we have to at least mention what's taking place in the south part of the country, Florida, other states, the hurricane, how bad it will be, it won't be so bad. But what you do see from this entire story and the last couple days leading up to it is you see true gvura, and really what they say, Mika Amcha Yisrael, the great dedication, devotion of the Jewish people to themselves, to their families, to religion, and to really to others. How many people from New York are sending down ambulances, Hatzalah is lined up, ready to go when they'll need. People open their homes to strangers. You really see that the greatness of Klal Yisrael sometimes shines when we're really presented with scary, dangerous situations. I got a phone call from a lady last night who lives in Miami. She told me she left Miami Thursday morning to go with her family to Orlando. But she called me because she told me she needs to go to the mikveh. And she's not in Orlando proper. She's in Orlando, the outskirts of Orlando, closer to Miami. So it's an hour and 15-minute drive each way to the mikveh. So I wasn't sure what she was calling me for. What she wants, or should she go, shouldn't she go? I said, I'm not sure what's the status over this. She told me, I called the mikveh lady in Orlando. They told me, if it's safe, we're going to open, I'm going to go. I didn't hear back from her, so I don't know if she went or not. But I was just thinking to myself, you know, after all she went through, you know, she packed up the kids and traveled and was in a strange place for Shabbos, you know. The last thing on her mind is, yeah, go to the mikveh, not go to the mikveh. But this is, sometimes we see the greatness of Klal Yisrael. When we talk about Mikamcha Yisrael, it's not only what they do for others, but what they do for themselves, their dedication, their devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know this is probably not the way of looking at it, but all I can think of when you watch people packing up and leaving, what reminded me of, and maybe this is a wrong analysis, but this is what reminded me of, is a little bit of what Klal Yisrael went through throughout years and years of history of being kicked out of various places. The Havdal, these guys are packing up all their belongings, and they're leaving, and they don't know what's going to be when they come back. Will they have a house? Won't they have a house? Will it be wrecked with water? You know, so many times, Klal Yisrael, we've had to do this move, and it wasn't because of the weather. It was because of we were being oppressed by various people. And we had to pack up everything, and we had to leave, and leave everything behind, and all what we did, and all the efforts that we put in, and that was it. We just left, and we packed up. You know, again, we don't wish it upon anyone to have to suffer such a way of having to give up so much that you did. But this is something we as a nation suffered through not even so long ago. Even in Eretz Yisrael. This is a common occurrence sometimes that various groups have to pack up and leave all that they worked for because of government reasons or political reasons. It's a horrible feeling to have to spend so much time working on something and just to see that in a moment, or either cause of weather, not cause of weather, because of people, or because of God, however you want to look at it, it could be gone potentially in a moment. But it really brings out the idea of the toichach on this week's parasha. And I'm sure every good Rav mentioned this week that this, not by chance, that this whole thing fell out during the toichach of Pashas Kisava, which is always falls out right before Rosh Chodesh Elul. It puts a little bit of a perspective on what's really important in life. There was a letter circulating by a lady who left Miami. She was also evacuated. And she wrote in the letter, you think about what's really important when you evacuate before an upcoming storm. You say, what's really important? What am I going to take with me? What's the most important things I need? And we think through our life that everything that we have is so important. Everything we buy and everything we purchase is the most important thing in the world. But she said, when you have to run away and you have to protect and save what a few things you have, you realize what's really important. Your family, yourself, you know, the whole shayla is, what do you do with the ksuba? So someone told me a great idea. They put the ksuba in the dishwasher. I never thought of it. The interesting idea to keep the ksuba safe, they put it in the dishwasher. Supposedly it's a stainless steel, it's going to stay protected. I don't know, I'm not sure. I would probably tell them to take the ksuba with them just to save all issues. But you realize what's really important, all the stuff that we have, how important really is it? It could be here one day, gone the next. And if we look in the Teichecha, the Teichecha screams to us. And although the Teichecha was written obviously thousands, thousands of years ago, you read through the Teichecha, and it strikes a chord. And the Torah discusses the Teichecha that will befall the Jewish people, and have befell the Jewish people, when we have not done what's correct. And if you just look at some of them, it's so clear to us what it's referring to. For example, the Pasuk tells us in the middle of the Teichecha, it says, the Pasuk describes to us what's going to happen. And the Pasuk says that Sharcha Tavua, the Pasuk tells us all that's going to happen. It says, Sharcha Tavua Chleinecha V'loisachal Mimenu, your animals are going to be slaughtered, you're not going to eat from them. Chamorcha Gozom Ulfanecha V'loyeshuvloch, your animals will be stolen from you and they not be returned. Tsoincha Nasunus La'ivecha, your sheep will be given to another nation, Einlecha Mashiach, there will be no salvation. So whenever I read this Teichecha, it always reminds me of very similar to what happened not so long ago, 75, 80 years ago, to the Jewish people in Europe. This is what the Torah is telling us. Their stuff, all their possessions, was confiscated by a nation. They never got it back. They tried after the war to get it back. They never got it back. All gone. How many children did we lose in the Holocaust, whether it was physical or spiritual? Nothing you can do about it. Powerless. The underlying theme is being powerless. All your work that you put in is going to be consumed by a nation that you don't know. And the Torah goes on and on about all that's going to happen, and you're going to be on the bottom and they're going to be on the top. It just screams to us our history as a nation of all the things we work hard on and the things we spend time on we realize can be gone in one day. A fellow came into the Chafetz Chaim in the 1930s and he told the Chafetz Chaim, I just bought a new house. He was so excited, he was so happy. Chafetz Chaim wished him bracha and he told him, I'm just going to tell you one bit of information. Just remember, it's not your house. So he thought to himself, okay, strange thing from the Chafetz Chaim to say, but okay. Fast forward, 10 years later, the Nazis storm into his house and they say, we're taking over your house. He said, it's my house. The Nazi looked him in the eye and said, it's not your house. And the Yitzhak, now I realize what the Chafetz Chaim was telling me. As much as we think all these worldly things are ours, they are ours. As long as the Kosh Baruch lets us have them, they're ours. And all this that's going on now, people are seeing this firsthand. That as much as we spend time and effort and working, growing something, and it is ours. We worked hard for it. We're not talking about people who steal. We're talking about people who deserve it. We worked hard for it. We spent time on it. And yet the Kosh Baruch tells us in a few minutes it could be gone. And that's really the lesson, the beginning of the parasha and the Bikurim. The lesson of the Bikurim is a farmer works so hard on his farm, takes pride in the effort, the hours, the toil that he put into his fruits, and finally he's zoichet to see beautiful fruits. And what's the first thing he has to do? He has to give it away. Give it to HaKadosh Baruch. So you can ask, come on, HaKadosh Baruch, give me some slack. I worked so hard, I put so much time and effort into these fruits. Why am I giving it away to you? So the Mefarshim said there's really two major themes that we're trying to learn from the story of Bikurim. One is Hakaras HaToiv. As much as we think we did, at the end of the day, the fruits only grow because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided we want these fruits to grow. And out of a sign of Hakaras HaToiv, we give these Bikurim over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Baruch Simon quotes in the Sefer, he says one step further. He says, you see, from the parish of Bikurim, you have to verbalize it. It's not enough to be Makir Toiv in your heart. And you say, I feel gratitude. He says, you learn from the parish of Vidi Bikurim that you have to verbalize the Hakaras HaToiv. It's not enough just to think it, to feel it, to understand it. A Yid is Mechuyav to verbalize the Hakaras HaToiv for Kadosh Baruch Hu, or to those people that are mative to him, or those people who give things to him. And that's the lesson of Bikurim. And the other lesson of Bikurim is for a person not to think, it's all about me. I did it. I built up my farm, and I'm so successful, and I'm so smart. Kadosh Baruch Hu thinks, it's not you, it's me. The way you prove it, do you show that it's not you, you give it away to me. If you, Yid, can spend so much time, effort, and toil, and then quickly give it away, by like just like that, it's a big nisayon. That's why Chazal tell us there was a big procedure for those Havas Bikurim. People would stop working, they'd stand up for them. It wasn't a simple nisayon to give up your Bikurim. But the testimonial one is making by bringing his Bikurim, he's saying that I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. It's interesting, Rashi says in Bikurim, they're supposed to bring it to the Kayin HaShayyeh Bayom Mahem. So the Kohen who lives in those days, so we had a similar Rashi by a Dayan, that you go to the Dayan. So he said, the Chiddush was, that even though the Dayan is not like the previous generations, but what does it mean to be the Kohen of those generations? Well, he's a from a Kohen, a less from a Kohen. Kohen is a biblical, it's birth, the way you were born. It's not anything about being Choshev. So the Kliyakar says, he says, there's a famous Gemara in Ksubis. Gemara in Ksubis says, that if a person wants to be Mekayim Bikurim today, he should give Matanis to Tamidei Chacham. So he says, you would have thought that if that's true, so then maybe you should give it to a Kayin as a bigger Talmud Chacham. Don't just give it to any Kayin who was born into the right family. Maybe you should hold off until a Kayin is going to be a Talmud Chacham also. On that, the Torah says, no, just give it to a Kayin. But what's Pshat in the Gemara? Why is giving presents to Talmid Chacham and like giving Bikurim? Because again, it's the same idea. When a person gives money or gifts of his own work, his own toil to Talmidei Chachamim, the statement he's making is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe that my money and my success and whatever I'm doing is not me. I'm sharing with your people. I'm sharing with your children. Your people who, why Talmid Chacham more than Aniyim? Why don't you say if you give it to Aniyim? It's a whole different idea. Give it to Talmid Chacham are people that are spreading Torah, teaching Torah, giving over Torah. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, this is not an appeal, don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that when you give your money to those people, you're showing that you view your money, not that you made it, and you're the Kaychi V'Oitzim Yadi on your money. You're saying, I view it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the same lesson of Bikurim, which is why it's so beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are faced with the Teichecha and the Parsha, where before we get to the good Teichecha, the heavy-duty Teichecha, there's a list of Arurim that the Torah gives us. Harisha Sheyasa Pesel Masecha, person does the Vaidazara, a person who's Makla of V'Imoy, person who degrades his parents. So the Meshech Chachma says, why does the Torah mention this idea of degrading one's parents? He says, because people have an attitude of my parents understand. if I misbehave with them, or I'm not nice to them, or disrespectful to them, they understand it's because we have this type of relationship. Therefore, it's not so bad. So it says the Meshachachim, no, that's what the Torah is saying. Even though, yes, and your parents love you, and they forgive you, and all that. At the end of the day, one has to be careful that Orem HaKlav V'Ima is a serious problem for a person to insult, Kol Shekein to hit. I always tell my kids that there's Ramon, the end of Hilchos Shabbos, the Ramon writes that if a child hits his parents, when they're children, they have to do tshuva when they get older. So sometimes when kids are little, they don't realize they get fired, or they get upset, they get angry, they hit their parents. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that they have to do tshuva afterwards, because even though it was b'shoigig, but they were makah of avim, they hit their parents, it's something they have to work on. So therefore it says the Torah that even though you might think, my parents, they don't mind, they'll understand, I had a bad day, I gotta take it out on somebody, they'd rather I take it out on them than I take it out on the teacher. So they'll justify why it's permissible to mistreat one's parents, and that the Torah says it's not allowed. And at the end of the Arurim, the Torah writes a line, Arur Asher lo yokim es divri ha-Torah azos. Curses the man who did not set up the Torah. So the Ramban has a couple of pshatim over here. One of his pshatim is, the Ramban writes, what does it mean, the one who didn't stand up the Torah? So he writes over here, that's referring to, Beis HaMelech v'Hanesiyah should be yodim l'hokim as-Torah b'yad ha-mevatel mo'isay. Those people that have the ability to bring up the Torah, amongst those who are trying to bring it down. Says the Ramban, if you have a yid who's a tzaddik gomer, but he never took a concern in trying to bring up Torah from other people, I raise the oru. So Moshe Sternbach writes, he says, this is a big time on many leaders of Klal Yisrael, whether it be influential people, Rabbonim, those that have power in Klal Yisrael, when they see degradation of the Torah, of religion, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they don't say anything about it. They keep quiet. It's okay. Don't worry. It will pass. It's a big taina, he writes. That's the Ramban's pshat. It's a big taina of all those who could control allowing this busha to happen to the Torah, to Klal Yisrael, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they don't do anything about it. It's not my concern. It's not my problem. I don't want to get involved for political reasons. Says the Ramban, that's an aura, and they're going to have to answer for that, writes the Ramban. But the Ramban has another pshat, the more famous pshat, where he says, it refers to the people, he writes over it, it's the chazan who's not making save a Torah al-atziba la-harois p'nek sivos al-akil. So the person who does hagba. He doesn't show off the Torah to everyone. And he writes a line over here, quoting Masech the Seifim, that when you do a hagba, you have to show the ksiva to the whole people, right, left, front, and back. Shemitzvah l'chol anoshim ve'hanoshim. Men and women, lirois haksav, to see the save a Torah, ulechraya, and to bow, and to save a Torah, asher son Moshe. Why is it such an important experience to lift up the Sefer Torah? Men, women, everyone have to see it? So the answer is because we're trying to show that this is not our made-up rules. This is not the Balkeira saying his own opinions. This is not the rabbi offering his shittas and ideology. This is the Torah. This book, this scroll that we've been using for thousands of years, I pick it up to show everyone. That's why some people have a minute, they do Hagba first. Why do they do Hagba first? Because before I read all these things, I'm showing you where I'm reading it from. I'm not making this up. I'm lifting up this scroll. I'm showing you it comes from here. This is all Divrei Elokim. This is not my Chidushim. So therefore, says the Ramban, you have to make him Divrei HaTorah. Everyone has to see it. And this is not only for men, he writes, it's for women and for everyone. We all have to see the godless of Torah. And therefore, we can appreciate that this is not new ideas. These are not someone's political agenda. This is Divrei Elokim that's been passed down for Dairi Dairis. At the end of the Teichicha, the Torah gives us a reason for why the Teichicha happened. So the simple reason would be because we did Averis. But then there's a line over here that everyone talks about, which is beyond today for discussion. The Torah says, why did the Teichicha befall the Jewish people? Out of the fact that the Jewish people didn't serve Hashem with simcha and joy and full heart from all of the good. So many Mefarshim learned that this is referring to during the time of doing mitzvahs. That Klal Yisrael didn't do mitzvahs b'simcha. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Luluf, Rambam Taka writes this out explicitly, he writes, it's a huge tvi on people, who when they do mitzvahs, they don't do it b'simcha, they do it with, I have to do it, it's a pain, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. He writes the Rambam, it's this week's parasha. The Torah is telling us, you have to do mitzvahs b'simcha v'tuv leif. But I saw upshot, it's more than that. So if a person would be depressed the whole day, so Kosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be upset. I hear people depressed, they don't like to work, they don't like to have fun, they don't like to do anything. But the pasuk is telling us, there are people who enjoy other areas of life. They love having fun. But when it comes to mitzvahs, that's not, just not fun. It's not that they're against having fun. A person will be against fun. Okay, what are you going to do? That's a very depressed life. Says the Mefarshim, no, these people like to have fun. They enjoy everything else. When it comes to mitzvahs, their face drops. You know, like when you got to call the kids back from recess, you know, the attitude is like, really? We'd much rather be outside. So Zok to Torah, that's what the tain is. People who enjoy so many other parts of life, everything else is so much more fun and enjoyable. When it comes to mitzvahs, you know, your face drops and you say, oy vey, I got to do mitzvahs now. That's such a pain. I'm not interested. You know, I don't want to do that. I'd rather do this. I'd rather skip this. I'd rather have days off. That's the tain of the pasuk is telling us, that a person is not doing mitzvahs because other areas of life he enjoys. And obviously, obviously, it's not by chance that these parashas are always read the weeks leading up to Yom Teruah, leading up to Rosh Hashanah, during Chodesh Elul, when we're supposed to be working. Like the Matt Ephraim writes, this is the time to work on all mitzvahs. A person has to think about how he can perfect himself in all areas of mitzvahs. I think this pshat in the pasuk is so true that a person should work on trying to enjoy mitzvahs. Again, they're not always fun. Some mitzvahs are more fun than others, no question. You know, if you want to bring a person to Judaism, Shom Purim, Shom Simchas Torah, they'll all sign up for it. Shom Yom Kippur, I don't think he'd be that interested. Not all elements of Judaism is as much fun as other days. Some days are more fun, and some mitzvahs are more fun. Some mitzvahs cost more money, some mitzvahs cost less money. It's definitely not one fits all type of idea, but the Torah is telling us when a person takes the attitude that mitzvahs are annoying, mitzvahs are not fun, then the klolos can chas v'shalom before them for such an idea. We're holding over here back in Gittin. I just realized this might be the last shift for Gittin for a while. I think next week we're going to try to talk about Inyani Rosh Hashanah. And I think the following Sunday we're going to try to talk about Inyani Tzem Gedalia. And I think the following Sunday we're going to talk about Inyani Yom Kippur, Sukkos. So I think this might be the last shift for Gittin for a while, but we'll try to cram in as much as we can before we'll take a short break and come back in Mitzvah Shem to Inyani Gittin. So we're holding over here in the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Ches. The Mishnah starts off like this. Hoysayim Elis B'Shes Rab. This is important to note, the wording of the Mishnah. The lady is standing in a public domain. The zarku loy, and the husband throws the get to her. So karav law, if the get is closer to her, migureshes, she's divorced. Karav law, if the get is closer to him, meaning his aim is not so good, and when he threw the get towards her, it ended up closer to him, then halacha is ainu migureshes. Mechtzal mechtza, let's say it's 50-50, we don't know if it's closer to him or if it's closer to her. So the Mishnah says, Migureshes ve'enu migureshes, so she's in what we'd call a Safek Gerushin case. She would be usher to a kayin. She wouldn't be allowed to marry another man until she gets a new proper get. So we're going to see the maskanas of Gemara. Mechtzal mechtza doesn't mean a distance issue. Mechtzal mechtza, the Gemara is going to tell us in a second, is really it's a machloikis between two edim. Machloikis is it really closer to him or is it really closer to her? One pair of edim say closer to her. One pair of edim. So we're going to see that Tosis has a kasha. That's not called mechtzal mechtza. That's not called half and half. That's called hakasha. Two edim disagree. You don't call that half and half. Half and half sounds like a distance issue. That's right. We're going to get to all the details, but the maskanas of Gemara, we're going to see that it's not a question of measuring. It's a question of nemanis. The Mishnah goes on and it says, V'chein then you kedushin. The same idea applies to kedushin. You throw kedushin to a lady, if it's close to her, she's married. Closer to you, she's not married. V'chein then you hachoyv. Same thing if you want to pay up a choyv. We mentioned last week, this is really a machloik. It's Rishayim between Rashi and the Mordechai. A case of choyv, omaloy bal choyvoy. Zroik li choyvi, says to the bal choyv, throw me my money. V'zorku loy, and he throws it to him. So karev la malve. If the money went closer to the malve, zoycha hamalve, the malve is zoycha in the choyv. Karav l'loive, if he threw it, l'loive threw it closer to himself, so then l'loive chayef. What exactly does it mean, the l'loive is chayef? So we mentioned last week, there's machloek is reshoin him to what's going on over here in the Mishnah. Rashi learns the cases that there's a malva and a l'loive. The malva says, pay me up. So l'loive says, fine. He throws the malva the money, and what happens is, the malva throws the money into the Mishnah Sarabim, and wherever it drops, right after it drops, it gets destroyed, gets ruined. So the question is, well, did I pay up my chayef? Did I throw it close enough to the malva that the malva has dalanamis, so the malva's kaina, and it's not my problem anymore? Or if it's still in my rishos, so then my money got destroyed and I still owe him the money. That's the way Rashi learned the Gemara. The Mordechai didn't like that pshat. He had kashas about chazokas, the moitz mechavel v'ray issues. So the Mordechai learned a different case. He talked about a case where the malva was pushing the loive to pay up, and the loive didn't really want to pay up. So the loive said, you know what, fine, I'll pay up. He throws the money, and then he wants to retract. So it depends. If it already reached the rishus of the malva, if the malva is already zayichin, it can't retract. If the money is still on the table, so then the loive could retract. That's the way the Mordechai learned the Gemara. We mentioned last week that depending on how you gerus in the Mishnah, it might affect on which pshat in the Mishnah you learned. Okay, but I want to go weiter for today. So the Mishnah ends off, karav loive alei v'chayv, mechza mechza shnei mechloiku, they both split. Okay, so fact the Gemara, now we have no idea at this point in the Mishnah, how exactly does this work? Again, the lady standing in rishus rabbin. Rishus rabbin, there's no chatzar. Chatzar is to be your area. You don't own the Rishus Rabbim. It's not your area. It's a public domain. So how exactly can a get work when you throw the get into Rishus Rabbim? So the Gemara is going to say, Kinira Tupshat. Hechi Dami. So the Gemara first has a kasha. Hechi Dami Karav Lo, Hechi Dami Karav Lo. What's the scenario closer to her? What's the case scenario closer to him? Amar Rav. So this is Rav's pshat. Arba Amas Shaloh, Zehu Karav Lo. Anything that's within her four Amas, that's considered Karav Lo, and she's divorced. Arba Amas Shaloh, anything that's in his Dalar Amas, Zehu Karav Lo. That would be considered close to him, and she's not divorced. So what Rab really is doing for us, he's introducing us to Pshat in the Mishnah. That Pshat in the Mishnah is working through this kinyan called Dalar Amos, that a person in a public domain has within four Amos around where he is, and anything that's within his four Amos becomes his. So if you throw the get within her four Amos, she's divorced. If you throw the get within his four Amos, she's not divorced. Now, the kasha is very nice. Rav made up a new thing, but where does Dalar Amos come from? How does it work? What are the rules and regulations? That's what today's share. We're going to get into a little bit of understanding this kinyan called kinyan Dalar Amos. And obviously, whenever you talk about Gittin and Kedushin, it always gets much more complicated because kinyan Dalar Amos is seemingly only a kinyan Derabbanan. Derais is no such thing called Dalar Amos. There's no kinyan called Dalar Amos in the Torah's world. The only kinyan Dalar Amos is a Derabbanan Stakana, as we'll see in a few minutes. So if it was instituted by Chazal, how could that make a lady divorced or married on a Deraisa level? She should only be divorced and married on a Derabbanan level. That's the kasha of the Rishayim.
So
yeah.
Why didn't this come up before when we were throwing the get to the woman?
It did. Yeah, it could have. In Achrami, there we were talking about cases, we were trying to keep it into her chatzar, either her chatzar, her backyard, her chatzar, her bag, her chatzar, her...
You can't, the street can't acquire the get for her.
In which case?
When we threw it, and it wasn't a chatzar, and we threw it, it was on the street.
Right. Right, that's why we had the problem with Tligidich. So you're saying, why is Tligidich a problem if you have Chatzin? Okay, good. That's a good question. I mean, we learned the whole sugya for many weeks about how to deal with Nesina, how to make a Nesina. How is Tligidich ever a problem if Dalar Amos is Koine? So the easy answer is you threw it more than Dalar Amos away from her. Meaning her Dalar Amos is only so big, and you threw it more than Dalar Amos away from her.
If that was the case, they would have brought it up at that point.
Yeah. The Gemara didn't address it like that because the Gemara was talking about the typical case of Tligidich where you throw it in the middle of the street and you tell her, hey, go get it. So the Gemara continues, Heichi domi mechtzal mechtzal. So how do you have a case on half and half? They're both standing in the same Dalar Amos. So if they're both standing in the same Dalar Amos, then they both have Dalar Amos, so then it's plus. That's mechtzal mechtzal. In fact, what are we talking about? Someone had to have come first. First one there gets the Dalar Amos, and that's the end of it. So whoever gets the Dalar Amos first gets the Dalar Amos. So the Gemara says, maybe they stepped into the Dalar Amos exact same time. So the Gemara says, well, you have shalat something. That's impossible. That's not so likely that that's what happened.
Why couldn't they just be standing there? And when he throws it, they're within Dalar Amos.
So that's what we'll see in a second. So El Omer of Kana, Hacha, Beches Amos, Mutsusemis, Askinan. We're talking about they're within eight Amos of each other. They get Yaitzi, Barab Amos, Shaloy, the Dalar Amos, Shaloh. And they're talking about the get is Mamish in between. You know, it's hanging on the fence of their border. So, affecting him of a Hogit Gabe. So you got a different problem that gets connected to him, which we need to talk more about a different week, not for now. We're talking about a case where it's not a question of measurements. It's a question of who can we believe. We're talking about two groups of Edim. Achas Emeris Karvla, Achas Emeris Karvla. Machloik is two kiddi Edim. One pair of Edim said, I saw it was in her Dalar Amos. The other Edim said, no, it was in his Dalar Amos. So Taisus has a kasha. Why is that called Mechtzal Mechtzal? Mechtzal Mechtzal sounds like it's a distance issue. Half or half. It's not. This is a halachic issue, and two people argue who's right. So Taisus has a kasha. We'll have to talk about how to answer it.
Are we like drawing a circle around them? Each one has their own separate
right.
Dalar Amos?
Yes.
But if they intersect...
That's the kasha of the Gemara. When you have eight Amos, and it gets in between, so now it's Mamash on the fence of his side and her side. So the Gemara changes that. Maskaran Sa Gemara, the case of Mechtzal Mechtzal, is a case where it's not a question of measuring, it's a question of what the storyline was. One group, two, Reuven and Shimon walk and say, I saw the get was in her Dalar Amos. Shimon Levi said, no, get was in his Dalar Amos. Who do we believe? So the Gemara says in that case of the Gerish.
The underlying question is Vanasa Biyada.
So let's we need to get to today. What exactly defines a Vanasa Biyada? So where does this whole thing come from? This whole concept called Dalar Amos? Where do we find it? So it's a Gemara. It's still a get, still partially in his rishus, or somewhat in his rishus. Right. Again.
From his Dalar Amos to within his Dalar Amos.
Yeah, we need to talk more. I just wanted to get to the Maskana Sagamar. Bulinader, that's for Mustama after the Sukkot. We'll talk more about Agad Gabe. So let's see a little bit. Where does this thing called Chatzah come from? So it's a Gemara in Bab Metzia Daf Yud. Sorry, the Gemara, Omre Shlokish, Mishem Abba Kain Bardalo, Arba Amashal Adam Kainis Loi Bechomokim. A person's four Amos is Kaini him anywhere he is. Within anything that's within your four Amos, that's your area. My time is Akhti Gemara. Tiknu le Rabbonon. It's the Kanas Chazal. Tele Osi Lansuye. So it shouldn't lead to fights. What were we worried about? What happens is the first time a Metzia finds its way, or a Dover Hefker finds its way into a Shisram, everyone's going to fight over it. Everyone's going to make a dash for it, like a loose football. Right? Everyone's going to fight over it. So Chazal said, let's make it simple. It's in your Dalar Amos, it's yours. This way no fights happen. So, according to the Gemara, this was Takanas Chazal for a specific reason. Chazal were misaking it because they were afraid that people would fight over ownership. This way, it's not to fight about it. It's in my Dalar Amos, it's mine. Therefore, there's no reason to fight. Now, you can ask me, of course, we'll still fight. We'll fight over the Dalar Amos. Right? I'll fight over which I want to grab the... I want to get there first. Okay, the Mefarshim has such a kasha. But the Gemara's point is that this whole thing is not the Raisa, it's the Takanas Chazal, but more than just being a Takanas Chazal, there was a specific reason given. The reason is, well, people shouldn't fight over Hefker or lost objects, so then the obvious question is, so how do you apply that anywhere else? If this was tailor-made for a specific reason, how would I have the right to buy and sell things with Dalaram? So let's say I want to sell you something. And I want to say, oh, you know, instead of putting it into your hand, instead of writing a shtar, I'll throw it into your dalar amas. So you're telling me, oh, dalar amas shal adam kainalai. That's not true. Dalar amas shal adam kainalai is only by a case where it's going to lead to fighting. What fight is there going to be if I tell you I'm selling you something? You're going to come and want to get it? You have no rights to it. I never sold it to you. So l'chayra, one would have thought, based on this gemara, dalar amas is limited to only either hefker or mitziah. No, nowhere else.
Yeah, somebody else might come and take it.
He can't. I sold it to you. I'm selling something to you. I only have das and makne for you. I don't want anyone else to have it. So what's going to happen if I were to put it in front of you? Someone's going to come and say, he's a ganef. He's a stealer. It's only going to be fights if we both have rights to it. So it has to be something that everyone has rights to, which is only limited to hefker and mitzvah. So it seemed like from this gemara,
yeah, you can have fights. She doesn't want to be divorced.
That's what's the fight?
That's
not an issue of fighting. No, but that's a different type of fighting. The fighting of the Gemara was, is that we're going to, this imagine there's no Dalai Lama. So the way it works is when there's a Hefker object, it's whoever stronger gets it. So there's going to be brawls in the middle of the street, everyone fighting over a Hefker object. So the Gemara says, fine, let's skip that idea. The way it is now is everyone's Dalai Lama is kind. So the moment something gets into your Dalai Lama, no fighting, it's yours automatically. So the question is, how would that work by a case of selling? I want to gift you something. I want to sell you something. Kedushin. I don't want to marry her, I want to marry you. So if I'm throwing you the money, why should you have Dalai Lama? That's the cash that we have to deal with. But what's the fighting back? She doesn't need to be kind.
It's better than Hefker.
Why is it better?
Because I'm putting it into your rishus. So I put it in Dalai Lama, so I should be better than Hefker, where nobody's putting it into my rishus. The rabbis came and put it into my rishus.
Right, so the question is, what does it mean that Dalai Lama is kind? What we need to talk about is there's a famous chakira from Avni Malum and others. Is the pshat Dalai Lama is kind means that these four amas now become my backyard? Is that the lomdus? Or the lomdus says, no, this is not your backyard, this is the public domain. Chazal made this object become yours. Those are the two tzadei hakira. What?
An extension of your yad.
Right. Well, not what you mean by extension of your yad. Right, we're going to have to talk about Hefker and Hefker. This is going to be the what we need to talk about. But to keep in mind when we go through the sugya, what's negate to us in the world of gittin is that sometimes we need to have not just own the get, we need to have an asina l'rishusa. Right. So that's where Gershon gets a little bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. Just to say, oh, Chazal made a trick in the magic, she owns the get. That might not be good enough, according to some Rishayim. Mm-hmm. According to many Rishayim, it's not enough that the Isha owns the get, there has to be an Asinul Rishusa. If this Dalai Lama is not her area, although she owns it, that might not be good enough. So we need to talk about this Chakira.
This is how it kind of works. We'll be able to, the Mishnah with Zama Kol Shalei, Zama Kol Shalei.
Right.
Right. They're both fighting over the Talmud.
Right.
So he gets up to the point that he asks, yeah, how could they both have such a fight to begin with? Was it both?
Yeah, so the Gemara discusses this in the first. This is the first Amid. No, this is the first Amid that the Gemara talks about. How does the case play out over there? The Gemara talks about this. The easiest way could be that it's both within their Dalai Lamas.
So then the Takana really doesn't work.
Right, in certain cases it won't circumvent it. Right, you have to. I don't remember now all the details over there. How the Gemara B'Metzia gets around the logistics of the case over there. How they're arguing about what they're arguing about over there. Daf Beis through till Daf top of Daf Gimel. But yeah, the Gemara discusses how all this makes sense. I don't think the Gemara there yet brings up Dalai Lamas. The Gemara I think is Mechalisha first later. This idea of Takanas Dalai Lamas. But again, Takanas Chazal don't make things direct. So we have a problem over here. If a lady gets divorced with Dalai Lamas, or she gets married with Dalai Lamas, as far as the Torah is concerned, she's not married and she's not divorced. That's a big problem that we should deal with. Let's see one more line over here in Rashi, number 4 for a second. Rashi says, Kainas loy, Dalai Lamas shal adam kainas says, Rashi, im yesh zivivois of dover hefker, if there's something of hefker around your area, in acher rashai l'tovsoi, no one else can grab it. Now that's a very interesting wording in Rashi. If I was writing Rashi, I wouldn't have wrote it like that. I would have wrote that if something is in your area, it becomes yours. Not that someone else can't take it. When we talk about ownership, what is ownership? Is that the fact that it's mine, and therefore no one else can take it? Or no, the fact is that maybe it's not yours, but there's a din that no one else can take it. Rashi went the other route. Rashi describing the ownership of Dalai Lamas as just a means that no one else can get it. But is it mine?
I want it, though.
So the Gemara talks about a case where you said before you want the Dalai Lamas to be kind of you. But still, Rashi's using this wording of no one else can take it. So we'll see later that Salvechik points out from this Rashi that Rashi clearly is giving us a lumdus of how Rashi understood Dalai Lamas. Now, Rashi also threw in the words, Dover Hefker. Now, Rashi didn't say anything. He says Dover Hefker, which is also a big machloekis b'shainim. Does Dalai Lamas work for everything or only for Divrei Hefker?
In general, in terms of Hefker, don't you have to pick it up? Even if
not if it's in your Rishos. If a Dover Hefker wanders into your Chatzar, That's it. It's yours. So if a Dover Hefker wanders into your Dalai Lamas, it would presumably be yours also.
But if the Dalai Lamas is in Rishus of Rabin, that's not yours. The Chatzar is yours.
No, but the Dalai Lamas, if you assume like that pshat, that Dalai Lamas becomes your, you have to look at your Dalai Lamas as your area.
Until you move
to another area, then that area becomes yours, right? It's a funny concept.
But it has to be Dover Hefker, because if my wallet falls within your Dalai Lamas or Rishus of
100%. Rabin, but why can't it be Dover HaMekach? Let's say I want to sell you something.
It might be, but he's saying Pasha Pshat is in
Dover
Hefker. It's the only thing you can be Kona, because people drop things all
But it's time. Also more than that, because by Dover Hefker, that's where it fits the case of people fighting. So it could be Rashi tipping us off with that Shaila. But we'll talk more about this Shaila. If you look at the next piece of Gemara right on number 3, I photocopied it. It's really on Daf Yud Amud Beis, but the Gemara quotes a memo from Rav Sheshes. The Gemara says, Rav Sheshes Amar Ki Tikna Rabbanon Besimto. Rav Sheshes disagrees with Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said, Dalai Lamas is everywhere and anywhere. You want to stop traffic in middle of Rishus Rabim, you have Dalai Lamas to be kainim. Rav Sheshes says, not so fast. Ki Tikna Rabbanon Besimto. It's not really in the real Rishus Rabim. It's really what's called a simta. A little bit of a off the side of the road a little bit. Not Rishus HaYachid, but it's off the side of the road, a little bit of a quieter area. Rashi says in other places, the simta would be, is let's say you were doing a business deal in Rishus Rabim, and you needed to collect your thoughts. You need a little bit of a quieter area. So you'd go off a little bit off the road, and there would be a simta that's on the side of the road. Simta Tzidei Rishus Rabim. These are all areas, not in the main thoroughfare, but again, still halachically public domain, but not considered necessarily the busiest of streets. It's a little bit off the side. I guess we call it the shoulder of the highway type of idea. That's called the simta. So Rish Lakish says only simta. Why? What's the svara? Because Rishus Rabim, you can't get Dalai Lamas. Too much traffic. So what? So if you look at number 4, underline the second Rashi, Rashi says, and you're in a public area, you don't own anything. Even your Faramas is not yours. There's so much traffic. Can you imagine walking down Manhattan and trying to get Dalai Lamas? It doesn't exist. You don't have Dalai Lamas. Someone's in your Dalai Lamas. You can't, there's no way to give it up. So Dr. Rashi, so therefore if Sheshi says, because it's so busy, there's so many people on top of you, so we can't give you Dalai Lamas. It's not practical, it's not fair, it's not logistical. So therefore we decide, you want Dalai Lamas, you got to go a little bit off. You got to go a little off the street where it's a little quieter. Again, it's still halachically Rishus HaRabim, and that's where you get your Dalai Lamas. So we have Machlokes Amirayim to how far the Dalai Lamas go. The Dalai Lamas give you, even in the most public of areas, the middle of the street, you want to stop the highway, you want to stop highway on the Van Wyck, you want to stop traffic, that's your Dalai Lamas. So no, you'd have to go off the side in order to have Kenyan Dalai Lamas. We'll see why this is going to be very relevant for our sugya. So we see the Sayyid in the Gemara is that there's such a Kenyan called Kenyan Dalai Lamas, the Rabbah. So Taisus over here, number 5 in Bamutsiya Dafyud, asks a kash. Then Toimer asks Taisus, Ve'il Nairis, in the third pack of Ksubis, the Omer Gabi Goyniv Kis B'Shabbos. Gemara's talking about a case where a person steals a purse on Shabbos. Ha'yimigarev Yais, he's schlepping the purse out. It's a heavy purse, so he's schlepping it out. So the Gemara says, Potter, such a case is Potter, the Esther Shabbos is Gneva Boim Kechot. He has a case of Kimle B'Drabim Inei. While he leaves the Rosh Hashanah, he has Esther Hitzo, it's a Gneva, everything happens at the same time, Kimle B'Drabim Inei. The Ka'amah, the Gemara has a kash. If he slept it out of the private house into a Rishus HaRabim, so the Gemara says, Isser Shabbos, Isser Gneva Lekha. There you have only Isser Shabbos, you don't have Isser Gneva, because again, where's the Maisa Kinyan? If he never made a Maisa Kinyan, he's schlepping it and he never lifted it up. So he never made a Maisa Kinyan until he's outside the house. So what type of Maisa Kinyan? What type of kinyan can you make in Rishus HaRabim? You don't have any kinyan. So Frank Taisa, what are you talking about? You have Dalai Lamas. So the moment the ganav steps into Rishus HaRabim, he slips into his Dalai Lamas, boom. So now he's going to get chayiv for gneva because Dalai Lamas shalom kinyan is loy.
So
he's assuming Arba Amas work in any... that's Taisa's assumption. And for Taisa, the Rabbanan never gave you Dalai Lamas to go against the Torah. This is always a question. When you make a Takanas Chazal, how far is it going to work? Did they make a Takanas Chazal to beat the system? Right, they're going to make you Takanas Chazal. They're going to give you Kinyan Dalai Lamas for Gneva, so you can go around performing Gneva. Look, the Taisers, that's what they're not going
to
do.
No, but Kinyan Gneva are to the Ghana's detriment.
True,
not
on some level, right? We're going to talk a little bit about that in a second. It says Taisers Ela B'Metzia. They only made it by Metzia the Leisil and Suya, so people shouldn't fight. So if you were to stop right in the middle of Taisers, you'd say to yourself, No. Taisers is not saying that Gneva is different. Taisa saying is everything is different. They only made it by Metzia. So if they only made it by Metzia, Taisa has a Bikasha. How do you learn our Mishnah? So Taisa says, no. Who beget Mishum Iguna. They did it by Get also, because of Iguna. So 1 second. So why did they do it by Chayv? And why did they do it by Kedusha? Go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talked about a case of Chayv. How could there be fights by a Chayv? Well, no one else has rights to the money besides the Malvin and the Leiva. No third party can come and take the money. So Taisa doesn't speak that out. What Taisa says, how it works by Get, because of Iguna. Okay, but how does it work by the other two? That Taisa doesn't say. So we'll have to wait till we get to the Gemara by us, Ayin Chesem Beis. The Gemara is going to address that question. Then Taisa gives a much simpler answer. If you hold like Kibsheshis, it's not a problem. Because there's no Dalaramis, it's not a Kash. So Taisa is clearly telling us that although there was a Tekonis Chazal to give you Dalaramis, it was not across the board, it was regulated. It was only given in specific cases when Chazal felt the urge. So if you look over here, number 6, in Imi Gedalia, Gedalia Finkel, he clears an interesting chakir. He writes this, Yeshless topic. How do you learn Taisvis' answer that by Gneva they didn't give you Dalaramis? He says there's two ways to learn Taisvis. Im Kavonis at Taisvis, whom Shum Shabamakim Isla Tikna Dalaramis, is it just very pashut because Chazal never gave Gneva, Kenyan Gneva, Gneva is an Isla, they never made their Takana? The other way to learn Taisvis is no. It's not the pshat that they didn't give it because it's a gneva. They didn't give it anywhere where it doesn't meet the reason given by the Gemara. So how do you learn Taisus? When Taisus answers that we don't have the gneva loy tikni rabban, the tikni elba metzia, is the pshat that we didn't give it to gneva because there's something wrong about gneva where we didn't want to expand it to gneva, but other areas we'd be willing to expand it? Or no? We never expanded it anywhere. It's only by metzia. Metzia, nothing more, nothing less. And that's what Taisus' answer really is. So he says, I'll prove it to you. The fact that Taisa had to speak out, what do you do with iguna? Mashma, the lab mishum de gneva hu isser. If Pshat and Taisa would have been that the reason why we didn't give it, meaning we really gave it everywhere, except for by gneva because it's isser. So what would Taisa have to explain why you do it by get? It doesn't need any explanation. Get's not an isser. If you would have learned Taisvis, that Pshat is that we give it everywhere, except for those cases where you do something wrong, you wouldn't have to start explaining to me why it works by get. It's Pasha. Because Chazal opened the doors for everything. From the fact that Taisvis had to explain why we give it by get, you learn the other Pshat in Taisvis. Taisvis means, no, we don't make it everywhere. Right, you need a specific reason to give you Dalat Amos. You have to fit the criteria of Asal and Suye. If you don't fit Asal and Suye, you don't get it. It's a shtickle deichik in the words of Taisvis, because then the point is not so much because the Gneva, the big neighbor that took me abona the kani elba mitzia. According to this, it's not because right. It's not because gneva is an avera. It's interesting. Taisus never says because gneva is bad. The big neighbor that took me abona the kani elba mitzia the loyleisin lansuye. It's actually very more meduik in Taisus lashon. If Taisus meant that the reason why we don't give you is because gneva is bad, Taisus left out an important word. Gneva is aser. Taisus never says that. It's not because gneva is bad. It's because we never gave it anywhere. We only gave him those cases that fit Asal and Suye. Also, now Taisa has a big kasha. If that's the lumdus, so how do you answer get? So Taisa says, you're right. Get doesn't really fit the criteria, but get has a guna svaras to why we did it. So according to the pshat, this pshat on Taisvis, which I think is rather meduyik, it comes out that really Dalaramis is restricted for Mitzia and Hefker. We don't give it anywhere else, except we, for some reason, expanded it to get, because of iguna, to make gerushin easier to take place, to make it easier for the girls to get divorced, we gave them as much flexibility as possible. Even if the husband throws into her dalarama, she's still kind.
What about kedushin?
Right, so the question is, what do you do with kedushin? So we're going to have to answer some makash of ayalitziyah, some answer like that. Right, so you have to make him easier to get married. So Gedalia Finkel has an interesting shayla. He says, what about mashicha? As machloikis in the Gemara, famous machloikis of Yechon Mishlokish, Tvar Torah mois kainis or ain mois kainis. Midaraisa. Is money a way of making kinyanim? Big machlokes of Yechon Mishlokish comes up all over Bamitzia, other places, it comes up sometimes even before Pesach. Right? And Be'er Halacha has a long discussion about which kinyanim you can use to sell your chametz to a guy. So that's part of the machlokes of Yechon Mishlokish. What kinyan do you have Jew to Jew? What kinyan do you have Jew to guy? All discussion in the Gemara about what you can use. So if you hold, Frankly, Gedalia Finkel like this, if you hold that Midday Raisa Mois is kindness, that's the only way to make transactions. Chazal were misak and mishicha, because the Gemara says, Shem Yisrafu chidech baliyah. We were afraid that if the only way to make transactions is with monies, what's going to happen one day I come to your store, and I want to buy thousands of dollars worth of merchandise, and I pay you with cash. So the moment we transfer money, it belongs to me. What happens? I don't have a chance to hire a truck to bring it all to my house, so I keep it in your factory. In the middle of the night, the factory has a fire. So the owner of the factory says to himself, I'm not getting out of bed to put the fire out. It's not my merchandise. It's his. He owns it now. I gave him money, transfer halacha, it's all his. I'm not going to put out the fire. Why should I waste my time? It's his merchandise that's burning. So Chazal said, no, this is a bad idea. We're afraid that this may happen, and there'll be no motivation for the store owner to want to save the stuff. And obviously, I can't save it because I don't know if there's a fire taking place in your store. I don't live near you. So Chazal said, you know what? We're going to pull in a new thing called mishicha. That the way you're carrying the objects is you have to actually pull it. So this way, even if I come to the store and I pay you with money, I still don't own it yet. So now when the fire breaks out and no one yet, I didn't schlep the couches into my house, you're going to pay for those couches, so you'll be much more motivated to put the fire. That's what the Gemara says. So effective, Gedalia Finkel, he says, we know that Mashiach is kind of by a ganav. If a ganav is Mashiach something, he's kainah. So he says, 1 second. Why would a ganav have kinyan mishicha? If you learn that sound in Taisvis, there's a possibility of learning Taisvis that we don't give kinyanim gneva to, we don't give kinyanim derabanan to a ganav. Why would Chazal give him mishicha? Why would Chazal give him mishicha? Why would Chazal allow a kinyan derabanan, which was made for the benefit of a person in a fire, give it to a guy to make him be able to be kain or not be kain and gneva? That's his kasha. Maybe that's one flip side of the name, but there's also, you know,
there's no benefit. There's no benefit to the ganav to making a
kinyan. I'm not sure if that's true.
Why? What does he benefit from being? The only thing he gets is chiyav onsen.
Maybe shinui.
I'm
not sure if shinui makes a difference. I don't think it has to be in his rishos for shinui, anyways, right?
The shinui is to pay money
right.
Instead of the
abed. Right, it doesn't have to be in his rishos anyways. If he's mishanit, even that.
Yeah. Kaddish a woman with it if it belongs to him?
No. It doesn't belong to him. Even if he steals it.
He can't be makish.
Right, it's still Einer B'Rishusay. So it's interesting. Listen to what he says over here. He says an interesting story, which I think is negated to our sugya. He writes, V'nir l'chalik ben kinyin al-amas a kinyin meshicha. V'haynu. The takon of kinyin meshicha hu takon ha-shal maisa kinyin. What was the chiddush of the Rabbanim when they said maisa meshicha? They said that this is now an action that transfers ownership. The kivin the tiknu l'maisa kinyin me'mei l'maisa zed kainu l'chaldover. Once this action, this procedure, transfers ownership, it transfers ownership in all cases, no matter what's going on. But how does Dalaramas work? Dalaramas Shulkain is not like that. I don't understand the chilk. He's saying some chilk is, it depends how it works. Meaning something like Meshicha, the Pshan that comes Chazal was, Chazal decided that this action is now an action that's haraz, bailus enough to be called a Maisa Kinyan. But Dalaramas, there's no logical rhyme or reason why something in my Dalaramas jumps into being my Rishos. That was a gift from Chazal. Chazal decided that things that that are in your Dalaramas jump into your Rishos. So he says that that's the case, so then they have the right to pick and choose when they want to do it. Mashaykin, if the action that your Chazal, the Chazal gave to you is an action that could be deemed a Maisa Kinyan, so then it's a Maisa Kinyan all the time. Now obviously this only makes sense if you assume Dalaramas is the Pshat, that the object becomes yours magically. Mm-hmm. If Pshat and Dalaramas is that we made Dalaramas your Rishos, it's like the other tzara of the Avim Lum's Chakira, that Dalaramas is a pshat that we extended your area, so then you got to extend it all the time.
No.
Why not?
Chazal could pick and choose.
But again, but his whole point of his Shtikul Torah. But then you have the same kasha.
I don't see there's no difference.
No, I'm saying in his Shtikul Torah. I'm saying, in Lishita Soy, according to him, in his chiluk between Mashiach and Chatzar, it only works if you understand Chatzar as a magical kinyan that the adjunct becomes yours. If Chatzar works with a certain lumdus, that's his point. And Gdai's point is that if you understand Chazal in two ways, one way they magically said things belong to you. So then they can decide when and when not. But if they worked with a certain lumnus, they said that this action or this procedure is considered a Maisa Kinyan, then it has to happen all the time. Now you can argue on that and say Mechadesa. They decided when and when and when not. But in his world, you have to answer that Chatzar is not considered Stam. Chatzar is not just an action where the object jumps into your Rishos. Chatzar, because then his Chiluk is right. But if Chatzar would be the Pshat, that Chazal viewed your Dalaramas as an extension of your Rishos, then I don't see why it should make a difference.
According to Rashi,
yeah.
It seems to be that Rashi is saying it's not a kinyan, just that no one else could get it.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the ability to make a kinyan now.
Correct.
And then it would be a good chiluk.
Yeah, but then it's shut. They say that kinyan dalaramas means it's never yours. How does that work for Gerish and how does it work for Kedushin? How does that work if it's not really
yours?
It's not yours
until you are market.
No, that's right. It sounds like from the Mishnah by us that if I throw it into your dalaramas, everything is good. According to Rashi, again, we need to talk more about Rashi. I'm not belittling the question. According to Rashi, it sounds like you don't really own anything.
Right.
So then how does that work for Kedushin?
No, because Rashi goes very well.
Because they have to be kind of.
That means you're not married now.
That's right.
Just the same thing, Rashi says for Al-Maisa. That's Kunuya-like.
Which means what?
Sometimes.
Belongs to you. But you're saying it belongs to you. You're suggesting it doesn't belong to you yet.
That's what Rashi says.
Yeah, but then you have a problem. So you're not really married yet. You're not married until you do another Maisa Kinyan. The Mishnah didn't tell us that. The Mashmoisa, the Mishnah. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have to deal with it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're going to deal with Rashi also, believe that. We'll hopefully try to deal with that as well. But the Mishnayim all here have a very big kasha. The Rajba has this kasha, Tosfos by us and Ayin Chesam Beis has this kasha. Number 7, the Rajba has the following kasha. He says, what happened over here? We started off the mission. Haisa imedes b'rishus harabim. So where's the girl standing? B'rishus harabim. So what's the Kenyan Dalaramas? Isn't it a machloikas amurayim if Dalaramas works in b'rishus harabim? Everyone like forgot about it. It's machloikas, b'sheshes, and b'sheshes and mishlokish.
Okay,
okay, good, 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 good. So that we'll see. We'll show you have a couple. Those are the easy answers. We're going to get to the more geshmak answers. So let's see. The Rajba has 3 answers. 2 of them are not so lumish, and 1 is what we need to talk about today. So if you look over here in number 7, the Rajba asks his kasha. He writes, V'yafagav da'at skinu perikam d'bom metziya. Gemara, ro, he said, ro, t'an achar metziya, de'in and kainis l'mishis rabim, that you don't have da'al amis l'mishis rabim. So, and for the Rajba, ik'lameimur, my rishis rabim, da'ach asimta. Rishus Rambam doesn't really mean Rishus Rambam, means the simta off the side of the road. For my car, the Rishus Rambam, the fishain Rishus Yochid. When the Gemara said Rishus Rambam, it just meant Lafugi Rishus Yochid. Then the Gemara brings a Raf from the Gemara Baba Basra. Okay, I think we can all live with that answer. Inami, Ekel Meme, the Raf, Sri, they command them, Hassam, Kernis Lafugi Rishus Rambam. Second answer, pretty simple. The Rav and our Gemara hold like the Shita of Reish Lakish above Metzia that you do have Dalan Amos and Mishas Rabbim. Okay? I guess we call these the non-Lomdish answers. Okay, Inami. Let's get to the Lomdish answer. You got to at least mention them. Inami. Get Shani. Zog the Raj, but no. Maybe really we hold like Reish Lakish. I'm sorry, we hold like Reshashis. You have no Dalan Amos and Mishas Rabbim. I, the Mishnah says the lady standing in Mishas Rabbim. Shani, the Tikna Le Rabban, and Afilu Mishas Rabbim, Mishab the Konis Egunais. No, again, we'll play this Agunas card.
Even broader.
That's right. Broader, we'll take the Takonis Agunas and not only expand on it to give you the right to have Dalaramas, we'll even give you have the right to have Dalaramas where you normally don't even have Dalaramas. So there's like, we'll call it two Takonas or maybe just one long Takona where Chazal sat down and said, we got to make the life of a potential girl who's not going to get out of a relationship, we got to do something for her. We got to be as lenient as we can. So what are we going to do? First thing is we're going to give her Dalaramas when she really doesn't deserve it. Not only are we going to give her Dalaramas, we're going to give her Dalaramas even in Rishas Rabbim. So the question is, why don't you say she doesn't need to get it ready? Like, you know, how much are we going to push it? At some point, these takanas have to work with halacha. It can't just be we feel bad for girls and we're going to just open up all the rules and say, okay, fine, you really want to get divorced, he doesn't want to divorce you, we'll look at you like you're divorced even though you're not. And we're not going to do that. There has to be some form of a framework. So here we're kind of really pushing the limits of the framework over here. We're saying that there's a thing called Dalaramas, accepted, the Rabban. It doesn't really apply to an Isha, we'll expand on it. And we're going to take it even further, even in Rishas Rabbim. It's a little bit.
He's still writing again. He's still throwing it.
That's
it's not again. Like, it's not like.
But again, it does. But it's still, I mean, in the rules given to us by the Torah. This does not at all meet any criteria for a divorce. We are kind of making this up as we go along.
It meets all the criteria as long as you define it as harishus or as a nesina.
But
we just have to redefine what the nesina is.
But again, if based on other rabbinic rulings, a dalaramis does not extend to a rishus ram, and dalaramis doesn't extend to your area, we can say all the lomdas we want. It doesn't. You want to debate that, we can debate it. But Lamaisa, according to this sheet in the Gemara, it doesn't. So you're basically giving the...
Does the Nasan law have to meet the same standard
as
you do in other areas of halakha?
Fear, but we at least know it has to be one of two. Either it has to be in the Sinul Rishasa, or that she's Kainit. So again, we'll come up with an easy way to make her to be Kainit. We have Hefka, Bez, and Hefka. That's an easy way out. But we're going to have to see exactly how this applies. So the Pnei Yeshua Stamaze takes issue with this Rajba. He says he doesn't like the Rajba at all. He says, V'temu Lituva, the Lefizeh. In the middle of the piece over here, he writes over here, the third line in, V'gamlai hevanti ikur hatam shalahem. He says, I don't even understand the reason they're giving. Mata konus agunus ikur b'zeh. What type of takonus agunus are there? He says, Adi rabbo, kim shizorek lo b'shis rabbi mifarsam mil satfe. He thinks if you're going to throw something b'shis rabbi, everyone's going to watch. V'kim da korcha tzar gam kim le'edim esira, ever get any edim esira, two people watching. Imke noich lo limsa edi shliach. He's more likely to want to give it to a shliach so he doesn't get embarrassed. You're going to end up having more scenarios of people not doing it right or not getting it done the proper way.
What's the embarrassment?
I guess he's not interested in, you know, the whole. He's not interested in doing it on Central Avenue. Everyone's watching him throw a get to his wife. He's not that interested in having it, you know, being done. So he'll send the shliach to do it. So then Zakhtar Ashba, there'll be more problems that may come out from this. So you came up with an idea.
The more problems?
If it's going to be close. If it's going to be karav law. If he gets the right aim, right? The right.
You mean just because it's so.
It's not the person himself.
Because it's not.
That's what it sounds like. I got a bigger problem with Iguna. Now we're not going to show if the real woman's really divorced. So, Fekta Pnei Yeshua, you think you're doing a favor for the girl, you might make things worse. Okay, I'd call that a technical cash. So according to the Rajba, we expanded Igunas not only to include the Dalaramas itself, but even to include Dalaramas Mishas Rab. And there's one more answer in Rishonim, which really needs explanation. The Taisirash, but Bamatzia gives another answer. He writes, Taisirash by us. He says, if you go like that opinion of the Gemara that Dalaramas only works in the Simta and Mishas Rabim, Kosho, the Masnisin, you have Shara our Mishnah. He says, Medes Mishas Rabim. Our Mishnah says she was standing in Rishas Rabbim. So obviously the Teis Rosh is not open to the Pshatim of the Rishonim that our Mishnah Rishas Rabbim really means the Simta, really means the side. So he comes up with the following answer. V'yishleimar, the Dafka Gabi Midi the Hefker. Says the Teis Rosh, that only time you can't use Dalaramas and Rishas Rabbim, that's only if it's something which is Hefker. Okay, Mitzia, Upeya, Loikanu Ela B'Simta. If you have something of Hefker, Mitzia, then you need it to be a real Rishas Rabbim. I will get the Choyv Umatana. But let's say get choiv and matono, kimin das acheres makna isam, because there's another party involved in the transfer. Then it's kind of even rishus rabbim. So the Taisirash's answer is the whole thing is not a problem. The only time the Gemara says in Bamitzia that you don't have Dalat Amos Mishas Rabbim, that's only if the Dalat Amos are talking about is for Davar Hefker. But if there's another party over here injecting into the situation their consent for the Kenyan, in such a case, then you can be Kenyan even in Mishas Rabbim. So the Kasha on the Tesis Rosh is why? Where do we talk about Das Acheres Makdi? We talk about Das Acheres when the Chesaron in the transaction is Das. If you need a certain amount of das, you need a certain amount of knowledge. So we say, well, one party can compensate for the other party's das. But that's not the problem over here. The problem over here is that this is not an area, this is not a domain that can create a kinyan. So I can have all the das I want, I can't change this area to become a maisa kinyan. So how does the Tais Rosh make any sense to learn that Das Acheres changes it? This is not that type of chesaron that Das Acheres should change it. Okay, right. So he's still machner the paper, right?
Yeah, but
that's the whole chab of Das Acheres.
They need Das Acheres, but she doesn't want a Das.
No, but that's the point. There is another Das. It's not just a one-sided activity.
Her Das doesn't count.
That's true. So obviously Das Acheres here doesn't mean consent or want to be kainet. The Das Acheres over here means that when I'm offering this paper to you, I'm giving it to you. So the question is, so what? I'm very happy that you're giving it. By a Hefker, no one's giving it to me. What difference does that make? So the Beis Halevi has a piece over here, and Beis Halevi writes like this. What's Pshat in the Tesis Rosh's answer? On the next page he writes, that time, he says, very pashut. He says, go back to Rashi, Bam Metzia. How did Rashi and Bam Metzia learn why there was no takana in Rishis Rabbim? Because it's so busy and there's so much traffic. So what? Says the Beis Halevi, no one has their own dalalamas. So what, says the Beis Halevi? Says the Beis Halevi, that's only a problem. What's wrong if we all are stepping into each other's dalalamas? So everyone's going to fight over, I got it, you got it, who's kind of?
What's my guess?
Right, but says the Beis Halevi, that's only true if the thing is up for grabs. If the thing's up for grabs, then we're all fighting over the same four amas, so then the Chazal said no dalalamas. But no one's fighting over my get. No one's fighting over my kedushin. No one's fighting over the thing I'm giving only to you. If I want to gift you a present, well, you're going to come and say, well, I want that present. I'm not giving it to you. But it's in my dalalamas. Great, I'm not giving it to you. Dalai Lama says, kindness, that there's a consent to want to give it to you. So says the Beis Halevi, if you have something that needs someone else's consent to give it, that Das Acheres Makdi is a pshat, there's nothing to fight about. So therefore says the Beis Halevi, ta'kol shaykhim bakumay mitziya avaget hu Das Acheres Makdi. Fari ein daite lahaknes haget. Rak l'misha ratzal haknes. I'm only giving it to the person who I want to be kindness. Hu masha'im dim shama noshim nochrim ein chasaran klal. The fact that other people are standing here, what does that have to do with me? Hu mishamachi tiknu chacham gamish etzirabim. But he writes, "Avol ikra et hakadosh hu rak mishamiguna." The longer piece of the Beis Halevi, who is trying to set up the shaila of does Dalai Lama include mitzia and mekach u'memkar also? So part of his shtickle Torah is he wants to say over here that although in lomdis Rishus Rabbim Dalai Lama works for mekach u'memkar, he still believes the ikra takana was only really made for aguna. He doesn't really think that it was an open-ended takana for everything. He thinks it was specifically for Aguna. But he thinks that based on the way you learn Rashi, he doesn't think that he thinks the Tais Rosh makes a lot of sense. Now, what's interesting is...
It ties back to the Chakir in the beginning.
Exactly.
It only works.
We're going to have to come back to that. Now, what's...
He gets rid of the Lansuri problem.
That's right, right. That's correct. That's what he gains. Now, what's interesting is, Lefizeh, we should have an interesting Shaila. What would happen if a person wants to throw Kedushin to a lady in a Mishas Rabbim? Would he be able to make Kedushin in a Mishas Rabbim? So the Chayra, it should depend on which Pshat in the Rishayim you go with. If you go with the Rishayim of the Tais Rosh, Das Acheres, Kedushin's Das Acheres. I only want to marry you, I don't want to marry anyone else. So according to the Tais Rosh, if you were to throw Kedushin into a Rishas Rabbim proper, it would work. If you go with the Rishayim's reason of Iguna, so here the Rishayim assume Iguna would not apply to Kedushin. Even though we said in our Gemara we do apply it, here they felt you wouldn't include it. So it would come out that if you wanted to throw a Kedushin to a lady in a Rishas Rabbim, it wouldn't work. What's interesting is, if you look in the Torah number 12, the Torah writes in Hilchos Kedushin.
The Mishnah doesn't distinguish between the...
That's right. They're correct. So if you look in the Torah, it's even more interesting. He writes, Haysa imedes besimta, oy b'tzidi rishis rabim. She's standing on the side of the road, or tzidi rishis rabim. V'zarek l'teich dal ha'masel mekudeshes. Why did the Torah pick a case of simta and tzidi? Why did he pick the case of rishis rabim? So it's clearly, he holds you don't have. Why don't you have? Because he mistama learned like this... Second answer, the last answer of the Rashba, that's only because of Iguna. Iguna doesn't apply to Kedushin.
All right.
But that can't work. Well, I can look at the next Torah. If you look at Torah Nechus Gerushin, he writes, there he writes that when it comes to get, you got real Dalai Lamas. So one second, what's pshat in the Torah? Why does the Torah say that by gerushin you don't have dalam b'shus rabim, but by gerushin you do, by kedushin you don't? So you have to work your way through the rishonim. If he held that you always have dalam b'shus rabim, then it's really shver. If he held that it's because of iguna, then it makes the most sense. Right. If he held das acheres, it doesn't work at all because kedushin also has das acheres.
Why can't you say that other people shabbat yisrael acher? In other words,
who else can take my kedushin?
I want to marry the girl.
I'm the husband. I throw the money. I'm the husband. I'm the husband. I'm putting money
on
the street.
You want husband to be. You want to be Mikadosh. Right. But I also want her.
But you can't take my money. You can't use my money.
Money.
I have money. It's my money. I come. There's five girls walking down the street, and I throw in front of one girl, and the other four girls say, "Hey, he looks like a nice guy. I want to marry, but I don't want to marry them. I only want to marry this one girl." So that's a cheres machno. He says no one else has any shaykh to this money. So it says taisus sarash you have dalams. So the cheres would come out that the tour, maybe Rambam Shulchan Aruch, so it's a little less clear, but tour is very clear. He makes a very clear distinction between Dalaramis and between Kedushin and Gerushin. The best way to understand is if he held like the Taisir Rosh's answer. However, the Bach says not like that. The Bach comes up where I think it's a very big Chiddush. Now, the Bach writes, Loshen HaMishnah Nakat, V'lav Rosh's Rabbim Gemur Kama. The Bach learns not like me. The Bach learns that the tour really holds you never have Rosh's Rabbim. Never. Not even by Gerushin. Why does the Torah say Haitzai Meiz B'Shus Rabim Zak Debach? He was just cutting pasting from the Lashon of the Mishnah.
It means he meant
Simto.
Elatzidei B'Shus Rabim by Simto. He really means that.
It's hard to say that because
it's unbelievable.
The other halacha,
it's a pellet to me that the Bach would learn such a pshat in the Torah. The Bach is learning in the Torah totally not the way we learned it. He's learning pshat in the Torah that the Torah really holds. You don't have in B'Shus Rabim. No pshat in the Rishonim. So therefore it makes a lot of sense by Kedushin. What Pshat Gittin, you have to be Deiche in the Lashon. Now he's right. There is no Mishnah that talks about throwing. Well, it does say, right? It says V'chein B'Kedushin. In our Mishnah, it says Ha'isai Medes B'Shus Rabim. Then it says V'chein B'Kedushin.
Right.
So whatever it says by Gerish, it says by Kedushin. Right. So I'm not sure why he made this Chiluk. The Pshat is that the Bach explains, because he says the Torah Shita later on in Chesh Mishpat is that the Torah holds you don't have Dalar Amos B'Shus Rabim. Now, okay, we know that. That's the Gemara. But you could still wiggle your way out and say, well, you would have it by Iguna and not have it by Kedushin, like the Tesir Rosh said, like the Rashba said. So for some reason, the Bach was not open to this saying, Pshat in the Torah, like we saw in the Rashba, and therefore he didn't understand the difference, and therefore he had to be Matche in the Lashon of the Torah. The way we learned the Sugya, we have a much easier way out. We could learn Pshat in the Torah like the Rashba, that's because of Iguna. Iguna doesn't expand to include Kedushin, and that's Pshat in the difference between Kedushin and Gerushin. Okay, let's get to the real sugya today. This was a hakdama to build up into the sugya. Now we're getting to the real issue over here. Frank, all the rishayim, the obvious kashin. Number 15 is the shidim kubetz and bam mitzia, but we'll see the same lashonis in rishayim by us. Avam mikol makim kashin. The betoich arba amis migarsha mitekanas chacham. The whole dalar amis on tekanas chazal. And she's not divorced until she gets into her backyard. So how could Chazal allow a woman to get married? She's not married. She's not divorced. She's not married. She's not divorced. She's nothing. It's all rabbinic. It's all in the rabbinic world. This is not deraisa. This girl who you throw a get to, we spend all the time figuring out the case. Yeah, Rishus Rabbim, no Rishus Rabbim. You throw a get to a lady, Dalet Amis, the Gemara says she's divorced. Fact to Rishayim, how is she divorced? She's divorced on a rabbinic level. Very nice. But mid deraisa, this lady is still married. So how? Because it's not her Rishus. It's both. It's no Nasina, not no Rishus. It's nothing. It's the same thing as if you would have put the get in her best friend's house. She's not divorced. So why is she divorced over here? So it says that this is quoting Rabbeinu Peretz, Talmud Rabbeinu Peretz. V'yesh loymar, kiven the tikkun rabbanan arba amos shaloh. Chazal made this takana. Heim midday raisa. Now it becomes day raisa. The hefker bezdin hefker, because there's this magical thing called hefker bezdin hefker. V'have kimo yerusha, and it's like yerusha. There's a lot over here to digest in the words of the Rishonim over here. Just on a side note, what's the line v'have kimo yerusha? So I saw one of the svarim they bring down. It's a misprint. It's have kimo yerusha. Okay, that takes it all the lumbus, no fun there. Have a kumagrusha, she's like she's divorced, and she's like a regular divorcee. Right, kumagrusha, right. So Reb Shmuel Rozovsky does not learn this pshat in the Talmud Rabbeinu Peretz. He has the gersh the way we have it. So what's going on over there? What's hefker bez and hefker? It's like Yerusha. So Pashup Pshat, the way you understand it is that Chazal said that this document, we control all money in the world. Chazal, almost like a communist government, they control all the money. It's all theirs. They can do whatever they want. Take away from you, give to you. They can do whatever they want. So Chazal said is that this piece of paper that's sitting in the Rishus Rabbim, we magically made it belong to her. It's hers. Legally, halachically, this piece of paper belongs to her.
Belonging is not necessarily true.
That's what we have to get to in a second. So these Rishayim say, okay, all we need to do is make it get belong to her. So if Chazal say Hefker Bezdin Hefker, Hefker Bezdin Hefker works on a Daraisa level, it means she really owns it, so the gets hers Daraisa, no problem. So what's V'Havik Kima Yerusha? What does it mean it's like a Yerusha? So Shmuelzovsky explains that there's a famous machlokes in the Gemara in Gittin. Where do we learn Hefker Bez and Hefker from? Two different psukim. Gemara learns Hefker Bez and Hefker from. And the Achranim point out the Nafkamina is how does Hefker Bez and Hefker work? There's two ways to understand Hefker Bez and Hefker. One way is I could take away from you. It's not yours. But there's a bigger chap that not only is it not yours, I can make it his. So there's two levels of Hefker Bez and Hefker. There's taking away, which I guess is not such a big chiz. I guess government does things like that. They confiscate, they take away, and you lose your ownership of the things. That's one level of Hefker Bez and Hefker. That is, not only would something lose ownership, I can create new ownership. This becomes yours. Chazal can magically decide that this thing can become yours although you didn't do anything. So it says Reb Shmuel Lozowski like this. He writes, based on Reb Shloime Eger and a Tshuva Reb Kiv Eger, to hold the kinyan d'rabbanan le'mahana d'raisa. Why is it that a kinyan d'rabbanan doesn't work on a d'raisa level? Again, let's say, for example, you have a lulav and esrog. I'll talk about what's negay. A lulav and esrog. Let's say a person would be carrying a lulav and esrog with a kinyan d'rabbanan. Would that be a fulfillment of l'chem on a d'raisa level? It's only yours on the Rabbanim level. So there's a famous Shtigl Teirib Kiveg, which Blined will talk about. If Kinyan Rabbanim Mahani L'Deraisa, obviously that would answer this whole kash over here. If when you own something on a rabbinic level, does that make it that you now own it on a Deraisa level? That's a Shaila. So Kiveg says that even if you hold that Kinyan Rabbanim does not work for Deraisa, that's because Hefker Bez and Yalfino Mikro Duchala Shalayova Yachram Ruchushai. You learn from one of the two psokim about Hefker Bez and Hefker. Umehas Mafkos Mami Yalfino Vlach Nos La'achay Di Bezin. That pasuk only gives you the right to be able to take away money. Ulam says Shmuelzovsky, the fima de yafina shomikrachrina. But the Gemara brings two psukim to learn out hefker bez and hefker. What's the other pasuk? Eila hanachlos asher nachlu ma ovois manchin levnei maf roshim manchilim. The drush is just like fathers inherit to their sons, they give yerusha. So too bezdin has the right to give yerusha. Imkim yesh keiach biad bezdin gam lahaknis anachasim lacherim. Bezdin has a right to not only take away but even to give. That's the shtickle of Kivega makes. So it says Reb Shmuelzovsky, now it's beautiful. Vizero shekos v'talmidei Rabbeinu Peretz. That's why Rabbeinu Peretz added those two words, v'havi kima Yerusha. What do you want with kima Yerusha? He was proving his point. I'm proving to you that Hefker Bezdin can make something yours and not take it away from him, just like it works by Yerusha. Just like the Gemara makes a drasha by Yerusha, that the way Yerusha works is automatically transfer of ownership, and Bezdin can do that also. So Reb Shmuelzovsky, that's Pshan Rabbeinu Peretz. Hefker Bezdin in our sugya means is that the get actually belongs to the girl. Not only is it not the husband's anymore. Let's say Hefker Bez and Hefker by Gerushin would mean the husband no longer owns the get. What does that do for us? He doesn't own the get. But she doesn't own the get. Says the Rabbi Luperes, no, the chiddush over here is that Hefker Bez and Hefker has the power not only to make the get not the husband's, but to make the get hers. Oh, if the get's hers, she's migareshes. So this is one thought in the Rishonim, that the way this works is with Hefker Bez and Hefker. Now, if you look carefully at the Lashon of the Shidim Mekubetzes, he didn't say anything about Nesina L'Rishusa. He just worked about it becoming hers. If you skip for a second to number 18, to the Ran has the same kasha, but he seemingly answers it very differently. He writes, even though Dalaram is not a kinyan d'raisa, given the rabbanan tiknuhu, the amri shiyu koinus, harei himiknuyu loy, v'asuam kichatzeiroy, v'hefker bezin ayahefker. What did the Ran add more than the Talmud Rabbeinu Peretz? He added two words, v'asuam kichatzeiroy. It became like her chatzer. What did the Ran need to add with that line? So if you look in the Avnei Meluim, which we have over here, we'll just say it out quickly, he said that the Ran was bothered with Akasha. Hefker Bez and Hefker means it's hers. For Gerushin, it's not enough just to be hers. You need to have an Asina L'Rishusa. It needs not only to be her ownership of the object, it has to be that you put the get in her area. So therefore the Ran said, if you don't make the Dalarama as her area, the fact that she owns the get is not enough. Gittin is not about owning the paper. Gittin is about Venesina L'Rishusa. So Zark the Ran, what they did by Dalar Amis is they said that these four Amis is not the pshad that what's ever in these four Amis, you're magically kainet. What's ever in these four Amis becomes your chatzer. They made your chatzer into, they made your Dalar Amis into your chatzer. So now when the husband put the get into your Dalar Amis, he made an Esina L'Rishusa. He put the get into your backyard. So
they did it only for a woman for get, or they did it for other things also. That's the lumnus for all the.
So at least by Gerushin, but it could be like that by all lumnus, by all dalaramas. They made not the pshat; they just magically made the object yours. What they did was they made this area your domain.
And even in Rosh Hashanah.
And even Rosh Hashanah. The only problem is, where do you find such a hefker as a hefker? We had two drushes for Hefker Bez and Hefker. Both of them were all about ownership. It wasn't about domains. Who says Bezdin now has the right to extend your backyard? They can't create new domains.
Well, he gave both.
Who?
The Ran, he said two things.
What two things?
First, that it's your chutzner, and then the hefker bez and hefker.
But what's the reason why dalaramas works? What's the tachanas chazal and dalaramas? It's both.
It has nothing to do with it. No, but you might have to say by getting.
No, but what's the lum? I mean, say what's the lumness of dalaramas according to this? The lumness was they were mocking you to get.
Yeah, because they said just being your chutzner is not enough. It has to be a mice and a seed. You need both.
Well, again, that's going to be called the machlokes rishayim. And if you hold like those rishayim, like the tzais, so then you only need it to be your chatzar. If you held like the other rishayim, you only need it to be yours. He's combining the two, which we'll need to talk about. But
it's moving there.
Well, your dalat amos doesn't move, you move.
And therefore your dalat amos change.
It's a new dalat amos. I mean, the dalat amos right now doesn't move. That ground doesn't move. I'll move, and maybe I'll get a new dalat. The dalat amos doesn't move, it's the ground. I'll move, and therefore I'll get a new dalat amos. But the dalat amos is not, I mean, the Dalamas comes by my movement, that's correct, but the Dalamas is still the ground. The ground doesn't move. We'll need to talk more about this Chakir, but this is what we're going to come back to, Mr. Shem. It's going to be a while.
How could it be the case where it's a Mechta Mechta and it's overlapping? You know, for him, it's not. He's not in the world of Gerushin. For him, he would be acquiring it as something. If they're making it for her, a Chatzim,